You know, it seems like everybody in our world today wants to tell us who we are. And so I've titled our lesson this morning, Remember Who You Are. And it's based on the book of Daniel. Daniel chapter 1, verse 1. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord delivered Jehoiakim, the king of Judah, into his hand, along with some of the articles from the temple of God. These he carried off to the temple of his God in Babylonia and put in the treasure house of his God. Then the king ordered Ashpenaz, chief of his court officials, to bring into the king's service some of the Israelites from the royal family and the nobility, young men without any kind of physical defect, handsome, showing aptitude for every kind of learning, well-informed and quick to understand, and qualified to serve in the king's palace. He was to teach them the language and literature of the Babylonians. The king assigned them a daily amount of food and wine from the king's table. They were to be trained for 3 years, and after that, they were to enter the king's service. You might say it was New Student Orientation Week at the Royal Babylonian Academy of Foreign and Civil Service. The new students were getting adjusted. They met the headmaster, who gave the usual speech about how they had to work hard on their studies and become future leaders. They unpack their few belongings and are assigned their classes. There's class on fundamentals of diplomacy, basic Babylonian literature, history of the Babylonian people, current political thought, and everything seemed to be going fine until that first day in the cafeteria. When three Hebrews went through the line and said, or four Hebrew boys went through the line and said, just veggies and water, please. Daniel 1, verse 6. Among those who were chosen were some from Judah, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. The chief official gave them new names. To Daniel, he gave the name Belteshazzar. To Hananiah, Shadrach. To Mishael, Meshach. To Azariah, Abednego. But Daniel resolved not to defile himself with the royal food and wine, and he asked the chief official for permission not to defile himself this way. Now Daniel had caused the official to show favor and compassion to Daniel, but the official told Daniel, I'm afraid of my lord the king, who has assigned you your food and drink. Why should he see you looking worse than the other young men your age? The king would have my head because of you. Daniel said to the guard whom the chief official had appointed over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, please test your servants for 10 days. Give us nothing but vegetables to eat and water to drink. Then compare our appearance with that of the young men who eat the royal food, and treat your servants in accordance with what you see. So he agreed to this and tested them for 10 days. Now we need to explain a little bit here how we got to this point. We need a little background. You see, at this point, Judah, the kingdom of Judah, was part of the Babylonian Empire. And one year, the king of Judah, a king by the name of King Jehoiakim, decided that Babylon was too busy to notice and opted not to pay the annual tribute to the Babylonians. But like all governments, when you don't pay your taxes, they notice. And so the Babylonians send a force to Jerusalem. They sack a bunch of cities around Jerusalem, including Jerusalem itself, and they carry off the wealthy and the noble back to Babylon as captives. So Daniel and Hananiah and Mishael and Azariah, who are the sons of Jewish nobles, find themselves unwilling guests of the king of Babylon. They're carried off, they end up there, and this is the situation they find themselves in. So they're chosen to go into the king's service. But the king is clever. And the king decides, you know, it would be smart to take these young men, to educate them in the Babylonian culture, to get them to think like Babylonians, and in doing so, will eliminate the leaders of future rebellions. You know, these are people who could cause me problems in the future. I'll just train them to think like me. I'll just train them to think in the way that we think here as Babylonians. And so we'll eliminate any problems, much like our colleges and schools do today. They take people and they train them not to think but rather to follow the mandates of government and don't question things. Just go along with what the current political thought is. That's the goal. That was Nebuchadnezzar's goal. And so the government supplied everything they needed in an attempt to gain their loyalty. They even got new names, new Babylonian names. Daniel, whose name originally meant God is my judge, was renamed Belteshazzar, which means Bel, who is the Babylonian god, is my protector. The whole idea is to shape them into willing instruments of Babylonian policy. Nebuchadnezzar's policy was to change the thinking of the new arrivals. And we say the same thing happening over and over again in our world. Our society, our leaders try to change our thinking. Say, forget who you are. Here's who we want you to become. You need to think this way. You need to understand things this way. We sent congressmen to Washington to clean up the swamp. And what happens? They go there and they end up being changed and catering to the very special interests that they campaigned against. Some things don't seem as bad when you become part of the establishment, and that's what Nebuchadnezzar was counting on. If I can get these Hebrews to be part of the establishment, Babylonian stuff won't seem so bad to them. You remember how unfair it was when you were a child and the older kids got to stay up late, but you had to go to bed? And it was so unfair until you got to be the older child. And then it made perfect sense. Things aren't fair unless you're the one under consideration. Do you have principles that are not for sale? Do you have fewer of them now than you used to? Have you bought into the subtle lies and pressures of society? Are there things that you'd never would considered in the past, but now you just sort of go along because that's the way it is? Sort of just accepted things that you never would have in the past? Well, what happened? They asked for a test. At the end of 10 days, verse 15, they looked healthier and better nourished than any of the young men who ate the royal food. So the guard took away their choice food and the wine they were to drink and gave them vegetables instead. Many people today won't even make the effort that those four Hebrew boys did. They won't even say, test us and see if it makes a difference. We're not going to change who we are. They just go along with the changes that our society wants them to become. They give in to Nebuchadnezzar's tactic. They swap their true inner self and conform to the new names that the world wants to give us. Many at first just go along for the sake of peace, but they end up becoming what they said they'd never be. People say things like, well, I can do that and still be the same person. I can accept this, you know. I can live in a world where everybody around me is doing this, but I won't change. But our hearts change as the actions around us become the daily way of life. But you see, as God's people, we can't give in. We can't become like all the others because we have a different name. We are Christians. We belong to God, and we can never compromise that. So what are we to do? How are we to live in a world that tries to force us to be something that we're not and remember who we are? Well, we can't withdraw into little communities like the Amish, or we can't go into monasteries like monks. If we do that, we lose the chance to be a benefit to God. I mean, think of the good that Daniel could do as a leader in Babylon. Somebody who believed in God, who's in charge of things in Babylon. Wow, what good could he do? You remember Jesus prayed that his disciples would be protected, not removed from the world? In John 17, verse 15, Jesus prayed, my prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They're not of the world, even as I am not of it. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. So how did those four Hebrews keep their focus in Babylon? How did they learn to trust God? How did they learn to do the right things? Well, they studied hard, graduated at the top of their class. Yeah, they faced all kind of opposition in society, But they had made a vow that first orientation day. And that vow was, we'll only eat vegetables and water. And they kept it up. It wasn't about social pressures. It wasn't about kosher laws. Daniel 1 verse 17 said to these four men, God gave knowledge and understanding of all kinds of literature and learning. When Daniel could understand visions and dreams of all kinds at the end of the time set by the king to bring them into his service, the chief official presented them to Nebuchadnezzar. The king talked with them and he found no one equal to Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. So they entered the king's service. God was with them. They vowed, we're not going to compromise. And God was with them and they ended up in the top positions, working for the king. In every matter of wisdom and understanding about which the king questioned them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and enchanters in his whole kingdom. Why? Because they were following God instead of following the Babylonian teachings and literature and thought. When we follow God, we're going to be 10 times better than those around us. We're going to understand things the way they should be understood and not see them like everybody else does. You see, they made that vow, and that vow reminded them of their names. They said, we're not going to eat this royal food. We're going to remember who we are. We're promising our lives to our God. We're going to eat water and veggies. Why? Not because there was something wrong with the meat. I mean, there was some meat that the Jews could eat. There was some meat that was forbidden to them, but there was some they could eat. And even some vegetables may have been considered unclean back in Judah. And wine, well, that was just a common table drink back in Jerusalem. Nothing wrong with that. But they said, we're not going to do it in order to remind us of who we are. That we're not part of this society. That we are to be different. The vow they made was a constant reminder that they belonged to God and not the Babylonians. And it reminded them of their real names. Daniel, God is my judge. Hananiah, God has been good to me. Mishael, God is my protector. Azariah, God is my helper. They tried to change their names. They tried to give them Babylonian names and say, no, Babylonian gods are your protectors. They said, no, we're not changing. We know who we are. We know who is our God. Maybe we can learn from this. We can learn that it's never too early to start dedicating ourselves to God, and it's never too late to do that. If we were to choose some part of what this world has to offer and consciously refuse it, we too would be reminded that God is the one who provides for us. Refusing some part of the king's food reminded Daniel and his friends that they lived under God's control with his help. So what could we do to remind us that we are different, that we can't become part of this society and just think and act and be like everyone else? Well, one thing we could do, for example, we could learn to limit our expenses, to get only what we need, and use any extra we have to help others as a way of reminding us that money is not the most important thing. God is. Serving Him is. Or we could vow to do without commercial TV. We could cut the cord, as they say, as a way to remind us that our values don't come from the culture, but from the Word of God. Or maybe like Daniel, we could change some part of our diet to remind us of our true ownership and that our bodies are the temple of God. As 1 Corinthians 6:19 tells us, do you not know that your bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom we receive from God? You're not your own. You're bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your bodies. The point is, do something that puts distance between you and the society that Nebuchadnezzar wants. Our society wants you to fit in, be like everyone else, think this way, act this way. But God says, no, you're different. Remember who you are. That's what the gospel calls you to be. Remember, you have a real name. You belong to God. You are Christians. You are to be different, distinct, and changed. As 2 Corinthians 6 verse 14 tells us, do not be yoked together with unbelievers. For what do righteousness and wickedness have in common? Or what fellowship can light have with darkness? What harmony is there between Christ and Belial? What does a believer have in common with an unbeliever? What agreement is there between the temple of God and idols? For we are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will live with them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they will be my people. Therefore, come out from them and be separate, says the Lord. Touch no unclean thing, and I will receive you, and I will be a father to you, and you will be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. We need to make our decisions based on the fact that we're following God and His Word, not some party affiliation, not the latest poll. We're not to fit in and be like everyone else, but to stand out and point others to Christ. And you can only do that if you're in God's family. You see, God wants us to be different. And He wants us to do something to remind ourselves that we are different. Now, for each person, that's going to be different. We have to make up our mind. What can I do to remind myself that I'm different? It may be that we have to give up something like Daniel and his friends did. It may be that God gives us something to remind us. I understand Paul with his thorn in the flesh. Several of us have different medical problems. And we say, Lord, how come this stuff sticks around? How come it's back again? How come it's still bothering me? Maybe He's reminding us, hey, you belong to me. Don't think you're the one in charge. You're the one who is just following what I put you here to do. You see, we don't understand God's ways. But He has a purpose for things. We know He has a purpose for everything. But we can only understand that if we're in His family. So are you a child of God? Have you been added to His family? Galatians 3:26 and 27 tells us, so in Christ Jesus, you're all children of God through faith. For all of you who are baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. There's neither Jew nor Gentile, slave nor free, male nor female, for you're all one in Christ Jesus. If you belong to Christ, then you're Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. You see, all the promises, all the blessings are in Christ. All the blessings, all the promises are in God's family, are for Christians. Have you done what the Bible says? Have you believed in Jesus as God's Son? Will you repent of your sins, confess your faith in Him, be baptized to gain the forgiveness of sins and the promise of an eternal life in heaven? As 1 Peter 3:21 tells us, this water symbolizes baptism that now saves you also. Not the removal of dirt from the body, but the pledge of a clear conscience toward God. Are you living a distinct life? When people see you, do they say, you're not like everybody else. There's something different about you. Do they notice? Do you remember who your real name is? Do you remember that you're a Christian? That you're not like everyone else? That God has given you a unique name? As Psalm 100 verse 3 says, know that the Lord is God. It is He who made us. We are His. We are His people, the sheep of His pasture. We need to remember we belong to God, not to the world. We owe our loyalty to Him, not to some political group, not to the way we were raised, not to something in the past, but what He did for us, dying on the cross to pay the price so that we could be forgiven. So have you obeyed the gospel, been baptized and given the new name Christian? With the help of the Holy Spirit to guide you in the way God wants you to go? If you haven't done that, then the only question is this. What are you waiting for? Get up, be baptized, and wash your sins away, calling on His name, Acts 22:16. Are you living a distinct life? Do you remember who you are? Don't buy into what the world wants you to be. Remember, you have a new name. You are a Christian. And that means that your life is different in every way from those around you. You have the promise of an eternity with heaven, in heaven with God, that others don't have. Live like it. Act like it. Be different. And whatever it takes to remind you, do that. We offer the invitation at this time as we stand together and sing our invitation song.